Good morning. What a beautiful morning, and look at our sanctuary. Isn't this beautiful? Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Wee-hey, excellent. Great to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day, and where else would you want to be on a Thanksgiving Sunday in a beautiful sanctuary such as this? It's great to be here, great to see everyone. After a week of with five grandchildren, Iris is sick. Children should have a health warning around their necks, you know. They carry diseases, you know. So Iris has got some kind of a throat infection. She sends her love to everyone, sends a happy Thanksgiving. And my learned friend here is hobbling around after her surgery. She's got a great story to tell, but not now. Come on, Larry.
And I don't listen well to doctor's instructions, and I kind of overdid it. And my friend got mad at me, and I think God did too, because I'm paying today. Anyways, good morning. Announcements this morning. Thank you to all who donated to the food bank for Thanksgiving. Thursday Bible study will resume this Thursday, October 14th at 10 a.m. in the church kitchen. We'll be completing the study, A Heart Like His, until mid-November. Then we'll begin a new study, Living Beyond Yourself, exploring the fruit of the Spirit. Everyone is welcome. And for information, talk to Sandy Reed, and she's here this morning, so nab her. Next Sunday is Pastor Ian's ordination. Our national pastor, Reverend David Schrader, and some members of our national board will visit our church. Following the service, we'll all join together for a potluck lunch. Beef on a bun will be provided, so please bring salads, dessert, and other main course items. And everyone is welcome, and this will be a really wonderful, wonderful celebration. So I'm hoping that everybody can make it. Mustard seed, October 20th. And our fall church work bee is on October 23rd at 9 a.m. to get everything cleaned up and ready for winter. Does anyone else have any more announcements? Kathy?
All you ladies, Thursday evening, we're having our little ladies' party here in the evening, 7:30 till 9 p.m. We're focusing on the Christmas child shoeboxes. And please bring donations of toques, scarves, knits, warm things for the mustard seed, and they can go down with the mustard seed next week.
That's Thursday evening from 7:30 till 9. So new items for the mustard seed, mitts, toques, scarves, that sort of thing. Is that everything?
Those of you who get the Upper Room Bible notes, the September-October ones never ever did arrive. They reckon they've sent them to us three times, but they never reached us once. However, we already have the November-December ones, so they're in your mail slots now. And if you still want to do the current ones, you can do it online. If you just Google Upper Room, it'll get you there, and you just go to the devotional, and it's pretty straightforward. So that's quite easy to do, because it is difficult if you don't have a computer. Get a computer and you'll be okay. So no further announcements. We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. Our Thanksgiving call to worship is a responsive one. You will find it in the bulletin, and you will find it on the screen. So if you would respond with the congregational parts. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
God's steadfast love endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord and call upon his name.
Make known God's deeds among people.
God blesses us with gifts of love. God blesses us with daily work.
And all we need from day to day.
God protects us in times of danger. God calls us into a relationship with Him. Therefore shall we offer thanks and praise to the Lord our God. O Lord our God, we will give thanks to you forever. Amen. We stand and we sing to the glory of God our approach hymn 559, Come Ye Thankful People, Come. Thanksgiving time is a beautiful time of the year. It's beautiful not only in picturesque terms from the beauty of the earth all around us for the way our sanctuary is decorated and beautified, but it's a beautiful time because it's a getting together again of families. We look around our church and we see a lot of our young people who are off at college and university, and it's great to see them all here coming back to their church home. And it's great to see, people like Betty Ann here coming back to our home, our church home, and everybody else around, families coming together and coming to the house of the Lord to give thanks. And we give thanks for everybody here and the ones who are not able to be here. It's great to see everyone in amongst your church family here in your church home. We bow our heads and we pray. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious Father, we come together on this Thanksgiving Sunday and we come, Lord, to give thanks. We come into your house because you have called us, Lord. Each and every one of us in different ways, we have heard your voice and you have called us to come together. And this time, in this wonderful time of thanksgiving, we thank you, Father, for the blessings that you continue to bestow upon us throughout the whole week, upon us, upon our homes, upon our families. We just thank you, Father. We come together to worship you, Lord, because we seek to lift high the name of Jesus, to give worship and praise to the name which is above all other names. And we come, gracious Father, because we know that you have something to say to each and every one of us. Open our hearts, Lord. Open our minds. And we pray that each of us may hear your voice as you speak to us this day. Accept the praise we bring, Father, for we come in the name of Jesus, and we pray as our Saviour Jesus taught us to pray, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for ever and ever. Amen.
If you would join me in our responsive reading, and it's taken from Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs.
Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, and praise his name.
The Lord is good,
and love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Grow, and here within our own church family, here it is our tradition on Thanksgiving Sunday that we celebrate Holy Communion. And so we come to this blessed time of our worship together, when all who love the Lord Jesus Christ are welcome to this celebration of his love for us. And we will start this communion service by singing our communion hymn, and I'd like to invite Margaret to come on up and lead us in the singing of this hymn, We Remember You. Is that right? Yeah, got the right title for it. Thank you, Margaret. We stand and sing to God's glory.
Would you pray with me? Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
We continue in prayer. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the body of our Saviour Jesus, which was broken for us, and to drink of his blood, which was shed for us, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen.
Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes."
Would the elders like to come and join me, please? You that do truly and earnestly repent of your sins, and are in love and charity with your neighbours, and intend to live a new life, following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith, and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and present yourself in all humility before Almighty God. This is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was broken for you, to preserve you unto everlasting life. Take, eat, and be thankful. Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross and gave his life that you and I might have life. This is his blood shed for you. Take, drink, and be thankful. We bow our heads in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, you have placed within the hearts of all of your children a longing for your word and a hunger for your truth. Grant that believing in the one whom you have sent, we may know him to be the true bread of heaven and food of eternal life. Your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be glory and honour for ever and ever. Amen. Presenting our special music this morning, we have a trio. We have our trio of Kathy, Pat and Laurie. And I think I'll let them introduce whatever it is they're singing, because I don't know. I caught a hearing of it this morning, and it sounded beautiful. But I don't know what it's called. Thank you.
I will tell you.
Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. This is a canon of kind of type of a round. It is called Dona Nobis Pacem, which means give us peace. Some of you might remember this from campfire days. It's been around quite a while. I looked up, when I was looking up what it means and how to talk about it a little bit, the word give in this Latin context here has a sense of giving with a sacrifice. And when we think about give us peace, we're asking God to give us peace with the understanding that the peace he gives cost him something. That something was Jesus leaving the glories of heaven, coming down here amongst us, frustrating, self-centered, ungrateful human beings, and loving us enough to suffer physical pain and to be rejected by people whom he loves. And he did it because of that love of his. So the price Jesus paid for our peace is very high. When we receive God's peace, we're asked to give our peace to other people, and that same peace to others. But as we know, sometimes they don't deserve it. Sometimes we don't want to give it to them. But we're called to sacrifice also, to sacrifice our pride and our rights and sometimes our comfort level to give our peace to other people. Part of the peace God gives us is the grace to offer peace to others. And another part is to ask that we will receive his peace. So, Lord, dona nobis pacem.
Dona
Dona nobis pacem. Dona nobis pacem. Dona nobis pacem.
Beautiful, beautiful, ladies. We appreciate that very much. Excellent, excellent. And next Sunday, as part of my special celebrations for my ordination, that self-same piece will be sung by Dan and Charlie and I. Maybe. But, oh, wow. Kathy, Laurie, Pat, that was beautiful. Thank you so very, very much. We appreciate that, and we join in that celebration of worship with you. Very much so, thank you. Your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you.
Thank you.
Gracious Father, we are ever thankful for your goodness to us. And so we come to you now, Lord, and we bring these, our gifts, which are but humble tokens of our gratitude. But we ask you, Father, to accept these gifts, and we ask you to accept the givers, for we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake, amen. Thank you. I'd like to say thank you to Janice as well. She certainly hasn't lost her touch on the piano. She's played there during offertory and she's accompanying Peggy with the hymns. Thank you, Janice. Beautiful. Thank you. I think the children are now going to their Sunday school classes. We stand and we sing to the glory of God that old thanksgiving hymn, "We plough the fields and scatter the good seed on the land."
Thank you.
on this Thanksgiving Sunday. We all have so much to be thankful for. I'm looking around the church now and I can see that many people have their children here. Not just little children, but big children as well. And we look at our children and we are thankful. We praise the Lord that they love us and they come back and they come at special times and they join with us in thanksgiving. And like this past week with Iris and I, we've had a week with our five grandchildren, and we are more avenues of thankfulness are open to our mind. Like you get to your bed at night, boy, are you thankful for that bed. But during the daytime, when your grandchildren come to you and they give you that great big hug, and my word, are you thankful? You praise the Lord for His love that is in this child, you know. And this child is hugging you tightly around the neck. And boy, it means so much. It means so much. And the beauty of the world all around us. We come into the church today and we see these beautiful examples of God's love for us. Not only in the things that He creates by His own hand, but the things that He creates through the hands of us, His children, when we see beautiful banners in our churches and the way the church is decorated and the way people come together as a family and they share love, God's love and love for one another. It's just a wonderful time. It's a wonderful time. So let us now bow our heads in prayer and let us give thanks. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious and loving Father, on this special Thanksgiving Sunday, we thank You for the life that You have given to each of us, for the joy of Your glorious presence to live our lives to the full, and for the peaceful and loving environment in which we live. We thank You, Father, for our church, and we pray that this may be a place of welcome for all people. Move in us, Father, that we might indeed stand upon the promises that You have made to us, and help us to use the faith that we have already from You to do those things, to do Your will for us. Help us to pray, Father. Help us to listen to Your word and to believe in Your power and to do those things, Father, that You want us to do. Lord, we thank You for Your church, not only here, but throughout the whole world. And we pray, Lord, for those who commune at Your table and in Your spirit on this same day that we do. We thank You, Lord, for all of the people who meet in this church and in Your church beyond these doors. We thank You, Lord, for those who pray and for those who laugh, for those who teach and for those who sing, for those who are old and wise and for those who are young and learning. We praise You, Lord, for the diversity that we have, for the uniqueness that each member of Your body brings to the whole. And we ask that You might help us, Lord, always to be understanding and to be loving towards all people, Lord, who call upon Your name. Lord of justice and peace, we pray for the world that You have given to us to be our home. We pray for our leaders, that they may have wisdom and that they may govern us with care. Care, Lord, for all. We pray, Lord, for those who are sick, those who are anxious or sorrowing, for those who have no homes, no jobs, those who lack food, and those, Lord, who are plagued with addictions. And Father, now in our hearts, we pray for those whom You have laid upon our hearts to care for, to pray for, and we pray, Lord, that You will show us and teach us how we can reach out in your precious name to them. We pray in silence. And now, Lord God, we pray for ourselves. You know all of us, Father. You know what we are like. You know our needs. You know our weaknesses. And we are thankful, Father, that you hear our prayers. We are thankful, Father, that you forgive our sins when we confess and repent. And we pray, gracious Lord, that you will bless us in the week ahead. Bless our homes and our families, and we ask you to watch over us as we go about our daily lives. And help us always to remember, Lord, that you are the God of our whole lives. That we pray, Lord, that we may be respectful of your constant presence with us, and that we may represent your holy kingdom worthily, that others, Lord, may come to seek and to find your grace. We bring these prayers to you, Father, in the name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. Amen. We listen now to the word of the Lord. I invite the chairman of our congregation, to come and present God's word for us. Thank you, Bill.
Good morning. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Our readings this morning, our gospel reading comes from St. John 6, verse 25 to 35. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. You are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for God that spoils, work for food that spoils, but work, sorry, my eyes here, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, what must we do to the work God requires? Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do?" "Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. It is that Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." And our epistle is from Philippians 4, verse 4 to 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer, by petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you.
Our thanks to Bill for reading those scriptures from the Holy Word for us today. And now we stand again and we sing to God's glory, hymn 556, "Now Thank We All Our God." Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The story is told of two old friends who met up after not seeing one another for quite a while. And one of these two friends looked pretty down in the dumps. He was sad and he was gloomy. The friend asked, "What in the world is wrong with you, my friend? You look so down." "Let me tell you," the sad guy said. "3 weeks ago, my favorite uncle died and left me $40,000. "Wow, that's a lot of money." "Yeah, but 2 weeks ago, a cousin I never even knew died and I got $85,000 free and clear." "What? $85,000? It sounds to me like you've been richly blessed." "Ah," he says, "you don't understand. Last week, my great aunt passed away and I inherited $250,000. The very confused friend said, "Why are you so gloomy?" "Why," he says, "this week, nothing." And the problem is, of course, when we receive something on a regular basis, we grow to expect it. We take it for granted. Here in Alberta, we are very richly blessed. We live in a land of plenty. And sometimes, because of that, we can become complacent. And in some times and in some circumstances, we do not give thanks to anyone for anything. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 16 to 18, we get this very good advice. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Why? I wonder why it's God's will for us to give thanks in all circumstances. You notice it doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances, but in all circumstances. And it's just as well, because some of the circumstances of life that we find ourselves in are awful. And we kind of wish we could get through this particular time of our life. But when we trust in God, when our trust is in God, we are assured that we will always be granted God's blessings. So we are instructed to give thanks in all circumstances. All circumstances. Romans 8:28. Tremendous promise we have from God, and it says, "We know that in all things God works for the good of all who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Those who are called to his purpose, that's you, that's me, that's why we are here today, because we are called by God to his purpose. What an honor we have bestowed upon us. And God's servant, St. Paul, is telling us that although God is not responsible for everything that happens to us, he's telling us that if we continue to give thanks to God, even in those difficult circumstances, even then, God has the power and will bring good out of it. And what a promise that is. Keep praising God. And yeah, it is tough at times, but if you keep doing that, you will see God's glory shining through. I came across a humorous list of items compiled by homemakers. Things they are grateful for, and to a degree they illustrate Paul's point. For husbands who disastrously tackle small repair jobs around the home, because that usually makes them bad enough to call in the professionals. That's me. For children who put away all of their things and clean up after themselves. They are such a joy. You hate to see them go home to their own parents. For teenagers, because they give parents the opportunity to learn a second language. And for smoke alarms, because they let you know when the turkey's done. But on a more serious vein, if we were to sit down and make a list of those things that we are thankful for, that list would consist of so much more than just material possessions. You know, when we first start thinking, they're the first things we think of. We've got a nice home, we've got a nice car, we've got this, we've got that, we've got the other. But you know, if you woke up this morning with more health than illness, you are more blessed than the 6 million people who will die this coming week. If you have never experienced the danger of battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, the pangs of starvation, then you are way ahead of 500 million other people in the world in this coming week. If you are able to attend church without any fear of harassment or torture or even death, you are more blessed than 3 billion other people in the world. If you have food in your refrigerator, if you have clothes on your back, if you have a roof over your head, if you have a place to sleep, you are richer than 75% of the population of the world. And if you've got some money in the bank or in your wallet, or some spare change lying in your car or in a dish somewhere, you are amongst the top 8% of the world's most wealthy people. The top 8% of the world's most wealthy people. Do we have any complaints? Do we have anything to be thankful for? St. Paul says, in everything, in all circumstances, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Hebrews 12:25 says, let us please God by serving him with thankful hearts. Because everything that we have by God's grace. Psalm 24 verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Or as we sing it so very often here in our church, this is my Father's world. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 7, we are asked a very poignant question. And that question is, what do you have that you did not receive from God? What do you have that you did not receive from God? I know you will have heard of the poor man who was given a loaf of bread by the baker. Thank you, said the poor man. But the baker replied, oh, don't thank me. You should thank the miller. He's the one who made the flour so that I could make the bread. The poor man then went off to find the miller. And he said thank you to the miller. You don't need to thank me, said the miller. The farmer is the man you should really be thanking. He's the one who grew the wheat. So off the poor man went. That's a John Deere tractor, by the way. So the farmer went off to find the farmer, and he thanked the farmer for his part in making the bread. I can't take the credit for that, said the farmer. All I did was plant the seed. It was God who sent the sunshine and the rain and the fertility to the soil. It was God who made the seed grow. Thank God, for he is the provider. And so we can even take a common everyday thing like a loaf of bread, and we can trace it to God. We can trace it all the way back to God. And this applies to everything that we have. Everything that we have. I may have mentioned it, but in the past week, Iris and I have been babysitting 5 grandchildren. And like many of you, I am sure, I do not enjoy driving in Calgary. Oh, it's terrible. And when I have to do that, I must confess, I complain continuously about the congestion, about the construction, and especially about all them other drivers. On one occasion, I distinctly remember this was going on, and Iris turned to me and she said, "Just listen to yourself. You are complaining non-stop. No wonder you don't enjoy driving in Calgary. You complain all the time." Is that ever you? No. I thought not. Complaining is the enemy of thanksgiving. The two cannot coexist. Doctor and preacher Dr. Dale Robbins, he said, "I used to think people complained because they had a lot of problems. But I have come to realize that they have a lot of problems because they complain so much." Wow. What we are and what we become is very much determined by our attitude to life and our attitude to what is happening within our lives at any given time. And sadly, complaining doesn't change anything, nor does it make the situation we are in any better. It actually gets worse. It makes us more miserable. Even the book of Psalms, listen to Psalm 77, verse 3, and this is the psalmist writing this, and he says, "I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed." That's what it makes you feel like when we complain too much. So it is no coincidence that God, through St. Paul, tells us to give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It is God's will for you and for me because God doesn't want us to be miserable. And the easiest way to get miserable is to complain. Misery and thanksgiving cannot go together. Philippians 2:14 says, "Do everything without complaining or arguing, that you may become blameless and pure children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe." Shining stars in the universe are not recognized by their complaining and grumbling and, oh. That's not how you recognize a shining star. And so to faithfully serve God, we've got to try really hard to develop the daily discipline of giving thanks. Of giving thanks. I love what Charles Dickens said. He didn't say it to me personally, but it was written down. And he said, "We're all mixed up. Instead of having one Thanksgiving day a year, we should have 364 of them. Then," he says, "we could use the remaining one day for complaining." And Rudyard Kipling, of course, who wrote the famous Jungle Book, at one time, he was so popular, his writings were getting for him 10 shillings a word. 10 shillings a word. And a few college students who were somewhat jealous of his success, they sent him a note and they enclosed a 10 shilling note. That's what an old 10 shilling note used to look like. And they sent a note with him and it said, "Please send us your best word." And Kipling wrote back one word, "Thanks." To God, for his bountiful grace to us in all things and in all circumstances, we say thanks be to God. Amen. Our closing hymns, this first one is a great hymn. It's one of the great old hymns of the church, and it's sometimes referred to it as a gospel hymn, but there are gospel hymns. We stand and we sing to God's grace and glory. Count your blessings. 563. Count your blessings. we sing to be God's people. I just wanted to update you on Muriel, who had a little falling over in last week's service. I've talked to her a couple of times during the week. She's doing good. She thanks everyone for their prayers, and they're looking after her, and she's feeling a lot better. She just got this pain, and as soon as she lay down, the pain went away. But she's so thankful that her family here in the church are so caring. They didn't just come and minister to her, but they prayed for her afterwards. Charlene's been up to Red Deer to get some little bit of an x-ray, and the hospital are doing everything to go and get her evened out and smoothed out, and responding to the medication. We close with 312, to be God's people.
Almighty Father, give us a vision of a dying world that needs your love and care. We see the need, the yearning for a Savior. In Jesus' name, grant this our prayer. To be God's people in this place, live His goodness, share His grace, proclaim God's mercy through His Son, be His love to everyone. And when we falter, be Thou our comfort, guide us as Your children, that our lives may be a beacon in this darkness that surrounds us, a light that others then may see. To be God's people in this place, live His goodness, share His grace, proclaim God's mercy through His Son, be His love to everyone.
And Corrine, who looks after our prayer chain and has everyone praying for everyone else, had her surgery this week, and the very day after our surgery she called and said, "The worst night is over, I'm doing well and all is well." And we are thankful for that. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love, this day and forevermore.